and let them have dominion.
The kingdom of God is within people. It's the advancement of the people that is advancement
because
of the kingdom.
Faith must be backed by
the assignment of this ministry is found from that verse.
You're onto a word encounter as Pastor David Ogbeli ministers God's word to you with simplicity and power. God bless you.
He created them to control the earth, to control the circumstances on earth, just like God controls the heavenlies.
Let your people hear your mind. Thank you, Lord. We give you praise. In Jesus' name. Numbers chapter 11. When the people complained, I want to read, the children of Israel, it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled against them. And fire consumed many of them. The fire of the Lord burnt among them and consumed many of them in the utmost part of the camp. And the people cried unto Moses, and Moses prayed to the Lord, and the fire was quenched. Notice how Moses quenched the fire this time. There was one time he told Aaron, take the golden censer, run between the living and the dead. But this time he just prayed. And the fire was quenched. Okay, verse 3 and verse 4. And the mixed multitude that went among them fell a lusting, and the children of Israel were also wept again, saying, who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish. We did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumber, the melons, the leeks, and all of that. But now our soul is dried away, and there is nothing at all except this manna that is before our eyes. Verse 10. Then Moses heard the people weep throughout their families, every man in the door of his tent. And the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly, and Moses was displeased. The first time, God, you were angry. I prayed, you stopped. Second time, you want to get angry again. Moses said, I'm also angry. Let two of us be angry. He said, you're the only one that gets angry. I'm also angry. And here is what followed. I want you to see. Here is what Moses said. He is angry now, so he's talking to God. And Moses said unto the Lord, why have you afflicted your servant? Why are you punishing me? Wherefore have I not found favor in your sight, that you lay the burden of all these people on me? Everyone say burden. Tonight we're going to talk about sharing in spiritual burdens, which is the key to the highest level of anointing available. You are not going to be anointed beyond the level of weight you carry. It's your relevance that determines your equipment. QED. When I said, Lord, I want to decrease more, I want you to flow more, I saw unctions now coming like floodgates of heaven. I used to pray for unction, and the unction won't come because I wanted power without responsibility. There was one time I declared 40 days fasting, and God said, fasting is important, but it's not enough. There must be responsibility for the power you are looking for. If you're not interested in responsibility, stop praying about power. Unless you want to carry financial burden, financial wealth at a heavy level will not come upon you in the kingdom. Unless you are ready to carry spiritual burden, there are degrees of unction you cannot tap into. One of the most anointed men that ever lived was Moses. Go and see the kind of burden God gave him. The burden of saving a whole nation. Somewhere along the line, I realized that there is something bigger than building a great church. It is redeeming a nation. Oh, when I was starting, I prayed. I asked, I sought the Lord. I went to elders who have done well, who have good testimonies, men who have longevity, who have integrity, and who have productivity. I said, what is the price for the miracle working power of God? They said, consecration, prayer, fasting. I said, I will pay it. I don't want to be a prophet of only talk. I want to be a prophet of not just talk, but show. Jesus said, this day is this scripture fulfilling your hearing. You should be able to talk like that. This is that which was spoken by Prophet Joel. Not no more storytelling. Sure. And I say, I'm willing to pay the price. A time came, I was in the field ministry for a number of years. One day, when I saw that there was a calling to pastor God's people, I also went to elders. Having been raised in deeper life, Pastor Kumuyi had tremendous success. Papa Idahosa was out there in the front. And I had to look, Papa Idahosa, I said, why is it only children around me? We were hosting him for a conference, and I decided, young people, and you have all these professors, elders. Papa, tell me, what is the secret? He said, you want to know the secret of raising a powerful, great, strong church? I said, yes. He said, first of all, I want to correct you. He said, when I started, I had small people. Whether he said 5 children and 2 adults. I think there were 7 or something. I said, so I don't have to be crying. He said, yes. He said, I wish I can exchange with you. I said, what? You can only say that because in my heart, or not publicly. In my heart, you can say that one because it wouldn't happen now. I wish you can just give me your people and collect. He said, listen, my friend, you have those coming from the womb, and I have those going to the tomb. That means I'm in charge of yesterday, you are in charge of the future. Rejoice. I said, when you have good mentors, it makes life easier. I said, good. My eyes cleared first. And I said, tell me the price for growing a big church. And he did. He said, haven't you started reading about Young Cho? Haven't you started studying about this, about that? I said, I will pay it. Somewhere down the line, ministry, growth now, but financial problems. Don't assume that just because you do one right, that you are doing the other right. Jesus gave us keys. Everyone say keys. So you may have learned how to open door one and be ignoring the key that opens door two. You don't find a house where there is only one door. You find many doors in a house. And this issue about the kingdom, he said, in a great house, there are many vessels. And I also want to paraphrase, in a great house, there are many doors. Am I correct? So, maybe you've been using only one key. Prayer is the key. Prayer is the key. Prayer is the master key. It is not. Because it cannot unlock money. It unlocks power. It unlocks revival. If the heart of people are blocked, not sensitive to the things of God, prayer unlocks it. It unlocks the coming of the Holy Ghost. It doesn't unlock wealth. So some people pray, but they won't seek wisdom. And some people now seek word, preach, all those things. They won't pray. So no anointing, empty talk. What is the door that is locked before you? There is a right key to open it. Can I hear you say amen tonight? Now, Moses said, Lord, am I the father of these people that you are putting all their burden upon me? How many people is God depending on Moses to get to the promised land? 3 million people. The burden of a whole nation. You know, Nigeria is a nation of nations. Numbers chapter 11. Moses said to the Lord, wherefore hast thou afflicted your servant? Verse 11. Wherefore have I not found favor in your sight that you lay the burden of these people upon me? The burden of these people. Verse 12. Have I conceived all these people? Am I the mother that gave birth to all of them? Moses is angry now. He's complaining. God was angry. Moses got angry. So anger versus anger. One coming from heaven. The other one coming from earth. And they met halfway. And they are talking. He said, did I conceive all these people? Have I begotten them that you should say to me, carry them in your bosom as a nursing father, bear the suckling child unto the land which thou swearest unto their fathers, when shall I have flesh to give unto these people? For they weep unto me, saying, give us flesh that we may eat. I'm not able to bear all this burden alone. Everyone say alone. God needs men. If we're going to see the new Nigeria that prophets have spoken about, men will have to emerge that are burden bearers. Do you know why the political terrain has been collapsing? We don't have pastors and ministers or individuals equipped well enough to deal with them. Going to pray for them is one thing. Being able to talk to them that the way Daniel talked. Being able to stand in the palace and deal with these men. And the Bible said Joseph was equipped to teach his senators wisdom. There is ministry to these men and very few people are equipped. You can come there and sing praises. So, there are different kinds of burden. But when Moses raised this problem, this is not fair, God. What did I do? You want to kill me? And he said, I'm not able to bear this thing alone. So, what is the answer that God gave him? And Moses said, verse 14, I'm not able to bear all these people alone because it's too heavy for me. It's too heavy for me. Verse 15, he said, if thou deal thus with me, kill me, I pray thee. When you see a man of God that is a genuine man of God, that is anointed by God, praying for death, it is spiritual burden, excesses of it, that is about to kill him. Elijah prayed the same thing. After calling fire down, next thing he's praying for his own death. The question is this, what burden is this burden that is about to kill Moses here? Before he has reached the promised land. What burden is this burden that is about to destroy Elijah? And Jesus was in Gethsemane crying. And he invited 12 men to help share the burden and they couldn't. They slept off. What burden is this burden that knocked even a whole Jesus Christ, knocked him on his feet? What burden is that burden? I thank God for the man that helped from Gethsemane to Calvary to carry the cross. He fell down under the weight of that cross 2 times. And one man from Africa came in and grabbed it. He said, Lord, let me carry it for you. Lift up your hand and say, Lord, I want to help you carry the burden of ministry. Now. When Moses prayed, I'm sure God angry, Moses angry. By this time, Moses talked. God said, this is not anger problem. I better solve some problem here. He said, Moses, okay, see, bring me 70 men, elders of Israel, who you know to be leaders over the people. Bring them. I want them for now to share the burden with you. And this is what I will give them for sharing a spiritual burden. He said, I will take of that anointing that is upon you, that anointing that divides the Red Sea, that anointing that subdues Pharaoh. Now, how many of you want to carry unusual anointing on your life? Now, have you seen the issue behind it? There is a cost. Tomorrow you say, God, kill me. I don't want to go. Elijah said, God, kill me. I'm no better than my fathers. A man that just called fire down. Now, what people see is the fire coming down. They don't know the price that is behind it. What people see is Red Sea dividing. They don't know the price that is behind it. And then they enjoy, because there are two groups of people in every ministry. There is the multitude who enjoy the benefits of ministry, but there are burden bearers who are the ones paying the price for what others are enjoying. You can see the salvation of the world. One man carried the burden, the rest of the world is enjoying. Who will be willing to bear burdens? Pharaoh was not with the same religion with Joseph. Joseph was a Jew serving the living God. Pharaoh and co were serving idol. Nebuchadnezzar and co, not the same religion with Daniel. Daniel was a Jew serving the living God. But there is a level Those men came from, they forgot about all those things. It's time to listen. He said he, Joseph taught his senators wisdom. And then he also bound the princes with chains. The ones that will misbehave, order him. National transformation. When I had the price for healing, the price for growing a big church, the price until the day God said, you can do something to help your country. I said, Lord, amen. I said, but tell me first, what is the cost? When I heard the cost, I wanted to run. Because there are different types of burden. Let's look at Jesus at Gethsemane. What burden was that thing he was carrying there? One of the burdens is prayer burden. Everyone say prayer burden. To bet a revival, to bet a reformation, to bet a transformation is not just by talk. One of those founding old fathers of the faith said he prayed and prayed till his heart shifted. But yet, after that, there was a great awakening. Because nothing comes from heaven until something leaves earth. Anytime there is an intervention, this atmosphere must be saturated with cloud, with smokes of incense of the burden of people expressing prayer. Whenever God wants to do something on earth, the first thing he sends the Holy Spirit to do is to take that burden that is in the heart of God, distribute it to men in form of burden, spiritual burden, until the burden is discharged in prayer. Nothing serious will happen. Revival is not just fire ignited by men. It won't last. It's an impact of God on society. And if we're going to see a genuine revival, armed robbery will stop. This one, churches are exploding and crime is increasing. That is not it. That's fake fire. Oh, they want to say it. You say that's revival. Mm-mm. Revival has an impact on society. It will close the brothels. You see all these prostitutes hanging on the street? Close them all. But first, the rain will have to gather. The cloud will have to get thick. And it is men of prayer. Can a nation be born in one day? He said, who has seen such a thing? Except Zion travels. Then she can bring forth. Now, prayer burden alone can kill you. You don't know how serious. I have asked my wife. Every new thing that we have ever done is first bettered in prayer. And when sometimes this thing will come, I will lay on this side. Have you seen how some women die in childbirth? That's how prayer burden can also kill. Because to really pray successfully, you have to be pregnant first with a divine burden. There has to be something God has shown you that he wants to do, that you are partnering. You lend your spiritual belly, what we call womb. The womb of your human spirit over to the Lord for the Lord to impregnate you with his vision, and then you bet it. It takes travail, like what happens in the maternity ward when a woman is pushing birth a child. It takes that kind of push. And the Bible said that's why God sent the Holy Spirit here to help us, because you need an anointing. Once you identify with a body, you need a supernatural help to discharge it. He said, the Spirit helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought to. But the Spirit maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. The Holy Ghost had to enclose you with the spirit of prayer and supplication. There is a grace in the place of prayer. When you read Zechariah, he said, I will pour upon the house of Israel the spirit of grace and supplication. And each family will sit in their camp, crying and mourning for what is going on in the land. If we are going to see a change in Eastern Nigeria, men and women will have to rise that will pay the price in the secret place. There is a burden that heaven has for Igbo land. There is a burden that heaven has for the businessmen. There is a burden that heaven has for the churches. It will not come about by lip service. One of the fathers, Western European Reformation, John Knox, give me Scotland or I die. And he traveled in prayer. And finally, the crowd got saturated. And rain began to fall. You want to carry an unusual unction on your life? Didn't you see how Moses' ministry started? God took a burden that was in his heart in heaven, came down at the burning bush and transmitted it to Moses. And Moses got pregnant. And the moment Moses got pregnant, he left what he was supposed to be doing. And this burden drove his life for the next 40 years. He was looking after his father-in-law's sheep. And all of a sudden, he sees a burning bush. And God said, I've heard the cries of my people in Egypt. Because all the burden is about the people. I've seen their affliction, the groaning with which the Egyptians has afflicted them. I have come down to deliver them. The first type of burden is the spiritual burden that is dischargeable by prayer. There are some that you can only achieve only by praying. But that one, the burden of revival, the burden of reformation. Anything God wants to do on earth, he has to find a man. I sought for a man to stand in the gap who can discharge that burden from heaven to earth. The moment it has been discharged out of the heart of that man, like when a woman has released the pregnancy, God steps on the scene. Things will start happening all over the place. I looked in the realm of the spirit when God was sending me to Onisha. He said, look at so many things I planned for the people. Yet it can't happen unless I get enough people to help bring it down here. I wish God can just do whatever he wants without if we don't pray. Then there won't be any need. Then there won't be a reward when we come to the judgment seat of Christ. Because if God takes care of everything, then there won't be nothing to reward us for. Because everything is by grace. But I want you to know that the reward is going to be based according to your works. Your promotion on earth is going to be based according to your contribution. So what are those areas where we can share in the fellowship of his suffering? Where we can partner with Christ? One of them is in prayer. Then you have what is called the prophetic burden. I wish I have time to dwell on that. This is 150 years of the gospel coming to Igbo land. I didn't come here to preach to you. I came with a burden. When you read Zechariah chapter 12 verse 1, it said the burden of the word of the Lord. There is one thing difference between preaching and discharging spiritual burden. When a preacher is under a prophetic burden, he is not here to excite people. He's not interested in your feeling. He's interested in what God wants to say to the people. To get it again, he has to be a man of the secret place that stands before God, and then God discharges his heart to him. And then knowing the mind of the Lord, he still has to depend on the Holy Spirit again, like the man in intercession, to be able to get it out to the people. It takes heavy anointing to speak at that level. It's not just a level of mere exhortation. It's not the level of motivation. It's not just a level of mere preaching. It's not just talking to people in the flesh. It's reaching the deep in men, confronting the human conscience, steering the strongholds in men, and bringing it down. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. We confront arguments. We confront every high thing in the minds of people that have lifted his head against the knowledge of God. To be able to preach at that level where you bring down things that have taken years to build in the church, years to build in society. Our preachers are there. They're not able to bring it down. You have to operate from a higher plane. When Jeremiah the prophet cries about preachers, because so many preachers, and God is still saying the laborers are few. What is the problem? He said, they have not stood in my counsels, so they can't help these people. Some of them are busy stealing word from each other. Others are just prophesying visions of their own hearts. He said, I have not sent them, yet they went. He said, therefore, they cannot help these people. He said, a prophet that has cock and bull story, a dream of his own, tell the one that has my word, let him preach it faithfully. Then he said, comparing it to what is chaff compared to fire, is my word not like hammer that break it in pieces? Is my word not like fire that burns? very strong. When you get a strong hammer, as you hit, the pillar will be feeling the impact. That's how it feels when you sit under a prophetic burden, being discharging message. It hits you. It's not where you can sit down in a church and you are not moved by what is going on. There is a word of the Lord. Thus said the Lord, a rhema word for a people in a season. There is something God is saying to the people from Eastern Nigeria at this time. Because this last revival move that is coming to Nigeria is going to be championed by people from the East. But he will learn obedience through what he will suffer. We have become hardened. The gospel doesn't move us again. We don't cry anymore. We don't understand repentance anymore. Days are coming. You say you're a tough man. Either you allow God to break you by what I have told you to pray about at the beginning. Let me decrease. Let's serve God. Because self is the problem. It's not the idol in your village. It's the idol, the biggest one. It's on the throne of the heart, self. Or you allow self to start decreasing so that God can actually use you. Because there is a prophetic destiny for the people. That's why the political problems, the economy problems, everything, even the strength of the Igbo man, his pride, which is his economy, is being cut down to size. God is looking for a new breed of Easterners, the ones that are broken and contrite like David. Then he said he will lift them, even in the midst of what is going on in the land, and use them as an example. He will take them so high for others to see. That in the midst of where you cry marginalization, in the midst of where you cry all that, I'll be merciful to whom I'll be merciful. I'll be gracious to whom I'll be gracious. I can lift anybody I want to lift, and the liftings of God has conditions. It requires brokenness. It requires contriteness. It requires meekness. Somebody said God has bypassed the East. He's waiting for the ground, the soil to be softened. The heart. Because God does not sow on fallow ground. That's why he's sending me here at this time. Have an assignment to prepare a way for next generation of giant killers to emerge from the East. That's why God is giving us giants and he's slaughtering it easily. Very easily. It's not humanity at all. It's not something of intelligence or connection or anything. He's handing presidents into our hands. He's handing governors into our hands. He's giving us giant assignments, building universities, all kinds of things, and he's making it. And you see Goliath fall like that. Then you think it's easy. He said, carry this prophetic demonstration for all to see. There is a new season of possibilities in ministry. There is a new season of possibilities in business. There's a new season of possibilities in governance, in government. There's a new season. The governors that will not line up with what God is doing now, they will be humiliated. Ministries that will not align to the will of God for this time, they will become totally irrelevant, and some of them will bring death sentence on themselves. There's a new season in the land. God wants to restore your life, your business, your spiritual life, your family. Are you hearing what I'm saying? God wants a turnaround in this land. There's another type of burden called redemptive burden. Everyone say redemptive burden. Redemptive burden is the type Igbo land needs now. The people need redemption. There are two types of salvation. There is salvation for individual, personal salvation, and there is national or community salvation. Jesus died for both. The fall of man affected the society and the land where man lives. And according to God, he said when you sow, till the ground, like when you go to do your business, when you go to pursue your career, whatever you do to earn a living, he said when you till the ground, thorn and thistles, it will yield to you. That is wahala, problems. Buy car, you can't enjoy it. You will not have the money, you can't even enjoy it. Some people, to even get the money. He said, this is how you will stay With the sweat of your face, you will keep laboring till you return back to dust. For out of dust you are taken, to dust you will return. A curse was laid on the ground and on society because of man. So what Jesus did is that he came, died, shed his blood for man's redemption, then took a crown of thorn, because he said his thorn, the symbol of the curse, thorns and thistles. He took that symbol of the curse and put on his head. He said, let the curse that should come to our law come on my head. The curse that should be on Anambra State, let it be on my head. The curse that should be on Onitsha, that the place will never be, people who live there will never have peace, let that curse come upon my head. That Onitsha is a city that eats up the inhabitants. People come there to earn a living, to do business, so they can have something to look after their family. But they end up losing their life. Look at obituary 37, check, Igbo man. If you see 10 obituary, 30-something, 40-something, 20-something, check the names. 9 out of the 10 are from the East. Our fathers used to live 100 and something, 90-something, 80-something. You die at 70, they say, this one, we need to inquire what killed him. In those days, 70, they want to inquire. Because most of them, you see them at 70, they are strong, moving about. My grandmother is alive. She is over 90-something. I think they were even saying getting close to 100. And she still moves. What is that thing, 20-something, 30-something? 40-something, every weekend, villages, obituary, everywhere. What is wrong, my friends? What is wrong? There is a breach in the land. They touch a little money, rise. As at times, they are now about to balance in business so they can move. The thing cuts it down. New laws, new bosses everywhere. Some of the big names, the old, powerful big names have been cut down to size. Didn't you remember? The era of 419 wealth. If you travel this direction or Obaside, you will see them. You travel this direction, heading to Enugu, different direction, you will see them. You move mainland, Anambra, you will see them. And how long did they reign? 7 years. I calculated each one from the time he hit it to the death. 7 years maximum. Some of them, you can't kill them, you shoot, they disappear. But he did the time completed. Just 1 week is what they were allowed. One. He's traveling, bed, vehicle, somersault. B. He carried a corpse of a notable wealthy man like that and dropped in the forest and they rotted. What is wrong, my brothers and sisters? The battle is not to the swift. The race is not to the swift. The battle is not to the strong. God talking one time, he said, time and chances happening to them all. What do you have to speak for you when evil chance appears? Some preachers only use that to talk about positive chance when opportunity appears. What about in the evil day that you may be able to stand? And Solomon the wise king tells us how to handle it. He said, give a portion to 7 and to 8, for you know not which evil shall be upon the earth. A very multi-millionaire, a very good friend of mine. He was not born again, but he made his money out there. And he got to the point they normally get to. The thing cut him down to size. In the course of that, he submitted his heart to the Lord in Lagos. And he began to ask, how do I come back? This is a disgrace. I don't like going home again. And that brings me to the fourth burden. It's called financial burden. Everyone say that. When you look at Moses, there were two burdens that were on his head. First was the redemptive burden of bringing people. He said it with his mouth, from Egypt to the promised land. Second was the financial burden of ministry. Where will I get enough food to feed these people? That financial weight is one of the greatest problems down here. If God did not help me with it, with the kind of things we are handling, we have crumbled since. One of those burdens is financial burden. Everyone says financial burden. Can you imagine the kind of burden God gave Solomon? He put the building of a whole temple on his shoulder. I know you will build it. Anybody give, they don't give, build it. I'm putting the responsibility on you. You sacrifice. You challenge others to do it. The kind of businessmen, kingdom financiers that are coming, are not just givers. They are the type that they are carrying major burden in the kingdom. They are also raising multi-millionaires. They are raising. There are a number of them. I have a few working with me now. Any young man that has a vision for the kingdom, you send to them, they turn him into a millionaire. The other time they came to me, they said they want to put 100 million together to begin to empower young people. Not everybody. We have to prove that you have that calling. Because we're not talking about empowering selfishness. They are coming. You know, when Barzillai was called to help build that temple, God said, I've only poured my spirit on other people. Wise hearted. You and Aholiab should raise that army. So that the building of the work of God, that army of technology and all that, will be many. That is the same thing. So when Solomon finished his assignment, the Bible said he made gold as dust in Jerusalem. He has solved the problem of poverty so much that the poorest man in Jerusalem is probably wealthier than the biggest man in the neighboring city. That's what God wants to do with us in heaven. He will reduce gold to dust. It will be much, you'll be street tired with gold. You'll just be marching on it. It's not an issue. So that any poor man in heaven is better than the big man on earth. Financial body. Do you know what it costs spiritually to drive? Among all these burdens, one of the toughest is redemptive burden, the one Christ carried for the world. To carry the burden of the sin, the consequences of past generation, what they did from Adam down to Noah, down to what the sons of Noah did, down to the disobedience of the children of Israel. And they gathered all of the burden of society, the whole world, and gave one man and said, carry. Carry it. That cross was not just wood. It was a sin of the whole world being dragged by one man. And finally, when he got there, they hanged him. He said, it's not over yet. There is still more. In the realm of the spirit, there are more consequences to be paid for all these things. The wages of sin is death, and the ultimate is second death. You have to descend into hell for 3 days. Go and test what it means to burn in fire. To be separated from God. And he had to go there willingly on our behalf. What Moses carried was a redemptive burden. To redeem a people under oppression. From the hand of the slave master there, Pharaoh. And bring them out to take them to a land flowing with milk and honey. But not to the degree that Christ carried. The East needs more than preachers now. We need the redeemers. He says, saviors shall come out of Mount Zion. We need them in government. We need more people with capacity to address these issues. We need people with certain heavy financial capacity. And that is one of the reasons I'm here. I'm trusting God tonight, like that day. God said, find 70 men, that at least 70 people will emerge out of this place tonight. How much weight do you want to carry in the kingdom? That decides how much unction and grace God gives you. Grace is distributed as the Holy Ghost wills, but it is distributed based on the level of weight you are willing to carry. In the great house, there are many vessels. There are vessels to honor and dishonor. The ones that are of honor, pay the price for it. It's not God that makes a person a vessel of dishonor. If anyone pitches himself, it's self that has to go down. Amaholos, Emahiyaba. Can I get 2 vessels, 2 cups, whether they are for drinking, anything that is open that I can use to illustrate this? 2 vessels, and I want to pray for the people. 2 vessels. Look at this one, it's empty. Come on, come on. God, that vessel is God. This is God Almighty. Pour. You see, he can take. And he's still taking. He's still taking. It's still taking. Why? What fills your vessel is self. If it decreases, there is more space for God to fill. Let me give you an example. Hold this. If I fill this thing with sand, if I fill it with palm oil, if I fill it with kerosene, and then you start pouring, what you will see is that the grace that is being poured will be pouring away because there is no room for it. If you don't decrease, the degree to which God can use you, whether it is financially, is the degree to which self has died. Let me tell you something. When it comes to giving in the kingdom, and there is something like when God said, Solomon, build me a house, there will be two things competing. Solomon wants to build himself a palace. God wants to build a house. Self will compete with the kingdom. If in Solomon, self has not gone down, what will happen is that if there is a level of grace released, he consumes it on his own loss. God said, you pray and you get not because you ask amiss. What is praying amiss? He said that you might consume it on self, on your own loss. The only thing you bother about is me, me, me. Do you know that there are things that God wants to accomplish in the land? That he's looking for men he will use. Can you yield yourself as a vessel and say, I'm available? And even if you tell God, I'm available, the degree to which he will use you will be the degree to which you have experienced self-cancellation. If you have not experienced self-cancellation, in electricity we say that current is inversely proportional to resistance. That's self, resistance. The higher the resistance, the less the current that can flow. The lower the resistance, the higher the current. The degree of power, the degree of grace is limited by the degree of self. Is God limited? Is his hand short that he cannot save? Is his ear dull that he cannot hear? What is hindering him? All these 2 million things and 1 million things, is that what you call kingdom wealth? Why should it be Satan's children carrying the lion's share and God's children crying for this thing every day? Not the problem itself, my friend. You need to experience the cross. The churches and ministers are beginning to preach crossless Christianity. They are making us feel that there is no more price. There is no pain. Jesus has done everything. That's a lie, my friend. There is a cross in the middle of Christianity. First, the cross of Jesus Christ, where a man died for his world to live. Now, the cross of every believer. Paul, praying about it, said that I might know him. The power of his resurrection. The fellowship of his suffering. We don't know what that prayer means. I'm praying to share in the burden of the kingdom, of advancing the kingdom. Pay whatever price is necessary to see the kingdom of God overrun a territory. The fellowship of his suffering. If by any means that I might be conformed to his death. Those two things. I want to die to the point where none of me exists. Where is all of you and none of me? Where is all of you? Where is none of me? Where you can use me to accomplish anything? And my greed, my pride, my ego, my selfish pursuit, my own ambition cannot hinder what you want to do. That is a new breed of evil men. And these are the ones. It's not till we get to heaven. He said, in the life there is, God is going to crown them with a hundredfold. I am seeing it happen under my leadership. Overnight, a young man in Lagos carries the spiritual burden of the ministry beyond what will blow your mind. Within months, God gives him 3 international companies. He was working on where he heads it. There are 70 men that will enter into the mainstream of Nigerian economy. This swimming at the stream that you call swimming in the water is over. God wants to take you inside the deep. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I said, let's give Onitsha a business school. Many of our children don't even complete primary school. Some complete primary school. Some can't complete secondary school. They have to be thrust out to go and labor and start trading. The 21st century business cannot be done with illiteracy. That type your father did, you can't compete in the new Nigeria. One policy from abroad, they liquidate all of them. You go to Togo. I had to be sent. They wrote me a letter. Nigerians are dying in Togo and in Benin. They said voodoo is ruling those territory, and they don't know whether they are the ones sacrificing our people every week. And I asked, they gave me list, Igbos. You go abroad, prison yard filled with our people. I said, let's give them a Harvard standard of business schools. I have all kinds of professors. Some are back in Nigeria. Some have taught for 30 years in America, in UK, everywhere. Let's help rebuild Eastern Nigeria. I want burden bearers. Burden bearers. Not those who want to give offering. Wait in your services tomorrow. When you get to your church, give them offering. I'm talking about burden bearers. I'm not interested in you giving to one preacher. I'm interested so into the future of your own land. And watch out for now. You are going to start hearing it everywhere in Igbo land. The multi-millionaire went down in Lagos. Suddenly with businessman. So he comes to Christ and he began to ask, this humiliation is too much. And God said, will you share financial burden of the kingdom? Let me release kingdom wealth to you. And he took him to Revelation. He said, when God found the Antichrist, he's a human being. He said, and the dragon gave him his seat, his power, and his authority. Even Satan in the kingdom of darkness, when he finds a man that will yield to him totally, he releases what is hidden to him. He said, I will so give you money that people will wonder if it is ritual. He said, you don't know that thing that people go to the devil to ask, that it is me that gave it to David, gave it to Abraham, gave it to Solomon. But go and check every man I gave it. There is a giant responsibility I gave them in the kingdom. And he said, Lord, yes. He said, I will test you. I will give you a level and check you if you are serious. Because if you cannot be trusted with unrighteous mammon, you cannot be trusted with true riches. And God turned around. Just one opening he gave him. One trip. A company just gave it to him. And they are ready to every amount of goods he wants without dropping a cobble. That's how he bounced back. Because this man fell so much that he sold his properties, estates, to pay bank loan. I said, God is going to take some people to the mainstream of Nigerian economy. Yeah. You are going to swim in the deep. There are dimensions to wealth, and there is a group of people that God is going to take into another level of spiritual unction, the level of the of mantle and ministry that is going to come on your life. Ministries that can transform whole society, whole nations. I have done church. I'm in national transformation. I know the difference. I know what it means for God to give you the head of kings. For you to suck the breath of kings. Across nations. People gave their life for this thing that you think we're doing. People lay down their life. A gentleman gave 40 million to help fund mission and the gospel. His family heard it and they traveled to Lagos. And he was talking to me. He said, and they called a meeting for me. And I asked my father, I said, did you give me any money when I was leaving for Lagos? He said, no. Where do you think the money, I built a house for you, I bought cars for you, where do you think it came from? He said, I entered a covenant of wealth with God. Don't disturb me. He said, I have only given money. I have not even given my life. He said, if my master asks me to lay down my life for him, I will do it. What will you do if you hear that I take my life and get and lay it for China or for Middle East or for somewhere? Don't you see suicide bombers? He asks his father, who are laying down their life. They don't even know where they are going, but we that know who we believe and where we are going. We don't preach the cross anymore. On the old rugged cross,
still the old rugged cross,
the emblem of suffering and shame.
It was there on the cross that the dearest and best for a life of lost sinners was slain.
So I cherish that old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. So I cling to that old rugged cross, an exchange is on there for a crown. So I cherish that old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. So I cling to that old rugged cross, an exchange is on there for a crown. So I cherish that old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. So I cling to that old rugged cross, and exchange is someday for a. So I cherish that old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. So I cling to that old rugged cross.
I'm telling you is that there is a mainstream of the economy. In business, in governance, God is going to take you. He is going to take you there. There is a baptism that will come upon your life. And there will be a debt that you will go through. Because giving, there is pain. To share the burden, you see, almost killed Elijah. There is pain in it. That's what we're singing about, the cross. But those that understand that the way to the throne, that every man God crowns, he gives him a cross first to carry. He gives him an assignment. And the degree of unction and the degree of grace is commensurate with the degree of weight he gives you. Put your hands on your chest. Say, Father, this night I enter into covenant with you. A covenant of wealth. A covenant of government. A covenant of leadership. A covenant of dominion. You are looking for men to use to change the state of our nation. To change the state of the economy. Father, here am I, send me. Father, I enter into covenant with you. A covenant of priesthood. You are using, looking for men to use to carry out the Great Commission. Here am I, send me. Father, I'm willing to go down.
that you might increase. I want to decrease, that you might increase. Take me to the cross. Purify my life. Set me free from greed. Set me free from pride. Set me free from lust. Set me free from those things that destroy kings. And from those things that destroy true priesthood. I want to be a genuine vessel in your hand. Purified and true. Ready for the master's use. Take me to that refining place. And bring me out as a pure gold. And display me to my generation. I'm willing, Lord, to share in the fellowship of your suffering. And I'm willing, Lord, to share in the glory of your dominion. Thank you, Lord. Change my life. Change my destiny. And make me an agent of change to my generation. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name.
Have you been impacted by this message? Please share your experience with Pastor David Ogbeli. Email address dominionimagemedia@yahoo.com or call 01792-6879, 0803-435-7959, 0803-590-9900.